Wednesday nights because we had, Jason spoke on one Wednesday night in between. I guess the Lord is my shepherd, and then he spoke, and then I shall not want. This is what we did last Wednesday night. And then tonight, the third statement of Psalm 23 is, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so we'll learn some principles from this. And of course, I've enjoyed the other. And of course, we saw that the Lord is my shepherd. And again, we all have that built in us that this is mine. This belongs to me. This is, and a lot of times that's selfish, and it's not a good motive. But obviously, we all, he's no respecter of persons. So he allows us all, and he loves us all the same. And of course, the first time I ever heard that statement, I was like, that's not possible. But then I became a parent to multiple children, and I get it. You do. They're different as night and day. But the love that a parent has for their child and children, it just can't explain it. And so I guess when I had those boys, or I guess my wife had those boys, you know, I was cheering her on. But anyway, once we had them, you know, I understood that. And so, but he allows us to say the Lord is my shepherd. You know, he's just as much my shepherd as he is yours, and he's just as much anybody else that is saved out there, and he's no respecter of persons. So praise the Lord for that. And then we saw that I shall not want. And again, we saw that if we had that relationship with the shepherd, he's going to take care of everything. And then that's what we're going to see tonight. He's taking care of stuff. And so the third statement in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I know the kids said it right around Christmas time, so praise the Lord for that. I know they're learning another passage and learning different passages and learning a couple songs. And I think Miss Sharon scared them a little bit. She said, but we got a year. We'll be all right, and so forth. But anyway, we see here this one says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And of course, we read that statement, and speaking of kids, that statement right there, He maketh me to lie down. And again, if you've ever tried to, send your kid for a nap or send your kid to bed and had issues with it, you understand this, all right? And so, and we tried all kinds of things, and it was, I guess we were just blessed, or maybe they were scared to death of me. I don't know, all right, but I never had a problem. I mean, they just went to bed. They didn't get up. You know, the only time they ever got up is if they were sick. And Brian would try to come tell us that he was sick instead of being sick in the bathroom. And I was like, no, I'll hear you. All right, I'll come. Don't come find me because, in the carpet, on the walls. And I was like, look, watch this. I like that type of cleanup, okay? And so you just go right here. But he would always come try to tell us. And, but if you get it, some of you have had those. I had a friend that he came to me and he goes, what'd you do when your boys were, go to bedtime? I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, we had a Bible story, we prayed, and, they went to bed, and I went to bed. He's like, my kid won't stay in the bed. And I was like, well, have you tried this? And so, again, when he said, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. So the Lord is our shepherd, and He's trying to teach us to take a nap, teach us that we have bedtime. And there's other things that we're going to see here, but obviously, a kid at nap time, well, I don't need a nap. I had a nephew that went to kindergarten, and kindergarten, I guess they still do nap times. I'm like, when's my nap time? I'll take one. I'll volunteer. But kindergartners, a lot of them, they don't want to take a nap, and that's what Luke, he got in trouble. He told his teacher, I didn't come to school to sleep. I came to school to learn. And I guess she thought that was a little smart aleck, but so he got sent to the office. But anyway, if you've ever tried to have a nap time consistently or have a bedtime consistently with a kid, it's difficult sometimes to make them lay down. All right? I've been a camp counselor before. And that's sometimes even harder, because you got multiple. All right? I'm going to turn this light off and I don't want to hear a peep. You turn the light off and you hear peep, 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 everywhere. You boom, turn and they're like sleeping, or you hear something boom, 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 going across, or you hear something fly through there. You can't catch them. So you're trying to make them lie down. Usually by the third night of camp, it's like, boom,
And you don't have to worry about it because they're just dead. But that first night, you know, they've been looking forward to it. They wanted to prank somebody. You know, silly string everywhere, wedgies going on. I mean, just all kinds. Let's go to bed. I'm making you to lie down. All right, I'm going to put you out in the green pasture if you don't lay down. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, I've been a coach before, and you go on trips, and you try to put them with, you know, who's going to behave and who's going to go to sleep and things like that. And you get up, and, you know, hotel rooms are empty. Where are they? So I get it. The Lord was trying to make these sheep to lie down in green pastures. And so what you do, you threaten them. All right, you threaten them. If you get up, you're getting spanking. And that one, I told that man that came to me and said, what do you do? I was like, you know, threaten him with a spanking. Okay, he's bringing me the paddle. What do I do? I'm sorry, I got up. Right, what do you do? And so, I mean, obviously, I said, you got to be consistent, you got to win, you know, this, that, and the other. And then I was like, look, if that don't work, if threats don't work, bribe them. I'll give you a piece of chocolate cake, you know, that mom said you could have tomorrow. I can give it to you now if you'll just stay in the bed. All right, and things like that. You try to bribe them. You create routines, right? You start telling them, all right, tonight at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever it was. Maybe some of you, when I get home at 4, you're going to bed. But anyway, you know, you try to create routines. And you say, okay, look, it's bedtime. We're going to go take a bath. Well, I don't want to take a bath. We're going to take a bath. Right, and you're going to put your PJs on, and man, that was the coolest time in my kids' lives, I think. You know, because they were boys, so they were always sweaty and stinky. All right, but you know, they'd get out of it, and they smelled like Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo, you know. And you're like, just hold them in their little PJs, and then they were clean. Wow. And so forth. But anyway, you create routines. We're going to take a shower. All right, we're going to get our PJs on. Then we're going to go in the room, and maybe you did Bible stories, maybe you just did bedtime stories. You tried to create that routine, and as soon as we get finished reading, we're going to get in the bed, we're going to turn off the light, and we're going to, but I'm scared of the dark. So then you had, in your routine, you had, you know, a night light, all right, or, you know, the cool ones that threw Spider-Man up on the roof, like, and then I've seen them where there's stars moving around. It looks like they're in outer space and things like that. And then you turn the white noise on, blue noise on, whatever else noise there is out there. You're trying to create routines. Just please go to bed. And so anyway, that's what I'm saying. We see that the Lord maketh to lie down in green pastures. So he's not trying to trick us, but he's maybe trying to give us enough perks that we will want. And obviously now, I mean, I can stay up as late as I want and things like that, but I usually don't want to stay up late. I want to go to bed. I'm tired. I did this. I did that. I'm wore out. Can we go ahead and go to bed now? and so forth. But we see that sometimes there are some of those sheep that do not want to lay down. They want to get up and do something, you know, and get in trouble or whatever. But he gives them enough perks that they'll want to lay down. So the Lord doesn't force us. Again, we couldn't do that. Boy, I'm going to get 3 ratchet straps, and you're not getting up. One across the forehead, one across the chest, one across the knee. Now you're not getting up. I'm not saying this is my parenting skills, but I'm just trying to think, you know, we can't force them. Did it lie down? And Jesus doesn't force. He doesn't force us to get saved. He doesn't force us to come to church. He doesn't force us to read His Bible. He doesn't force us to pray. Now, He encourages us to and says, this will be the best thing for you. He commands us, forsake not the assembling. I want you to go to church. I want you to have your daily bread. I want you to pray to me. But He's not going to make us. And it's not His will that any should perish. He didn't want anybody to die and go to hell, but He's not going to make us. So same thing here. He's not going to put us in a headlock or 3 ratchet straps. He's going to bring us there. And it says here, the Lord doesn't force us to lie down in the green pastures. He gives us enough perks that we ought to want to do it. And so obviously He's speaking of sheep here. He was like, there's some tender grass over there. And we're going to bring that out in a little bit. There's some tender grass. To us, it just sounds like a word. Right? Grass is grass to me. I've chewed on some. Back in the day, you put your old piece of straw in your mouth. You know, look like a cowboy. But to an animal, to a sheep, tender grass means something. It's kind of like filet mignon. Sign me up. All right, shrimp on the Barbie. Sign me up. Okay, mac and cheese. You know, it sounds good. So that's what he's saying. I'm going to take you over here to this green pasture, and it's got the best grass. Just kind of like when we're trying to convince somebody to go to a restaurant. You got to go check this out. It is good. That's what he's saying. I'm gonna take you over to this green pasture, and then he tells them that there's cool shade over there. Maybe they're in a desert, and the green pastures are not very, popular in that area. So he knows where they are, and he says, now when we get to this one, it's got some good tender grass, and there's some shade. And I mean, they're out in the middle of the desert, panting and hot, and they're like, sign me up. I'm there. And then he tells them, there's going to be some clear water, cool water over there. And then he tells them, not only is there tender grass and shade and cool water, you get to be with me. All right? And us parents try that with our kids. We're going to go on this trip. Oh, well, it's fun. It's going to have this, and it's going to have this, and you get to ride with me there. Whoopee-doo. So, kind of like Jesus when he says, hey, I want you to come to church. I want you to read my Bible. I want you to talk to me. Well, if I have to. That's what I'm saying. And so that's what the shepherd's like. Look, so some things that God knows. Some things that God knows. That's what we're going to look at in that. Number one, God knows when we need a rest. Some of you can tell by your kids. Some of your kids get a little bit white right here when they just get so stinking hot. They won't stop. All right? And you're like, hey, you want some water? Nah, I'm good. Hey, you want to sit down and rest? Nope, good. I mean, beet red cheeks, a little white. Hey. And you almost have to force them to sit down because they want to jump on the trampoline another 5 hours without stopping. Or they want to slide down that hill in the snow sled, and their fingertips are blue. No, I'm good. Can you feel? No, that's why I'm good. And so you know better. You know what they need, and you're trying to get them to lay down. And they're like, nah, I'm not. This is too much fun. And so that's what God's saying. God knows that we need rest sometimes. So you can just tell when a kid needs a nap. I mean, they're biting each other's heads off. Okay, I know y'all just got up 5 minutes ago, but if y'all don't stop your arguing, we're going to all take a nap. I mean, I don't want to do that. And so, obviously, God knows when we need to rest. Mark 6, 31 and 32. Listen to these verses. Mark 6, 31 and 32. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest. Now, obviously, this is their lifestyle. There weren't hotels. There weren't, Motel 6 could leave a light on for them or whatever. They didn't have any of that. And they were just always going, 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 going. And so it says here, come ye yourselves into a desert place. In other words, get away from the people. Let's go in a secluded area and rest. And while there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so he was telling his disciples here, people have been coming, going, heal me this, heal me that. I pray for this, fix this. I'm going through this. And they're like, whew. I mean, we're trying to help people. We're praying for them, and Jesus is healing them and things like that. And I'm about to pass out. And again, you have stuff going on like the flooding and all that in North Carolina. They're still dealing with it. Out in California with all the fires and stuff, there's people still dealing with that. And I think I would rather have snow all right, than a flood or a fire. Some people, you just have to do what you got to do. You got to keep working. But there has to come a place and a point where you're like, hey, come aside, come apart. And I've heard preachers say about this verse, where it says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart. So go apart before you come apart, is what I always heard. Because sometimes when we're that tired, we don't handle things correctly. We don't treat people right. We just need to go rest. And sometimes you have to force yourself. I've seen, doctors where they're on shift for this many hours, but, operating on people's pretty serious. I just got to go take me a power nap.
and so forth. And so that's what God knows. In verse 32 it says here, and they departed into that desert place by ship privately. And so sometimes, you know, God says, I know you need some rest. You need to come apart. So come over here to this green pasture and take advantage of it. And so praise the Lord. We have nighttime. I know some people work at night and things like that. But most people, they work during the day and they sleep at night. The ones that work at night obviously have to find that time during the day where they can get quiet, get private, and get some rest because our body needs it. And God knew that. So God knows that we need rest. The second thing God knows is this, that I know I designed your body. All right, so that's why He knows that we need rest. And so we're not tricking God. I'm all right, you know, with the white now. I'm all right with the blue fingers. I'm okay. With a beet red face and, you know, take a puff of your inhaler or something, please. God knows, just like a parent knows. Maybe when we're getting irritated and we're, you know, being aggravating at each other, hey, we need to go apart and rest. So God designed that we needed it that way. And to be a good steward of our body, we need to implement all these things that God says we need. All right? When you're younger, maybe you can go longer. But the older you get, you need it. And obviously, when you were real young, you needed it as well. And so forth. So God designed our bodies to need things, and He gave us the ability to do it or not to do it. And He wants us to be a good steward. Obviously, you know, you have to drink or you get dehydrated. And, you know, I've been, you know, so busy, you know, so, I guess, bullheaded, didn't want to take time to get anything to drink. And I got a kidney stone. And whew. So now, if I ever start getting hard to swallow, give me some water. give me something. I don't ever want to have to go through that again. All right? If you've ever had one, you'd probably say, you're right. But God created this body and made it need water. We need to stay hydrated. Dehydration is bad for you. I've gotten to the point where, you know, my body got all twisted up, and, you know, I was throwing up. And the nurse said, have you drank today? Well, a couple sips here and there. Dude, all right, keep you some Gatorade. You need electrolytes. And gave me the spill. And, you know, you need to take a break and drink. Okay. So I learned. But God created our body like that you need water. And, of course, salvation, Jesus is the water. If you drink of Him, you never thirst again. So comparative, spiritually speaking, you need water. Physically, you need water. Next, we have to eat. We got to eat. Over the holidays, I got to where I said, I don't ever want to eat again. All right. Why? Because I saw that. Oh, I got to have some of that. I hadn't had that in years. And then a couple days after the holidays are over, I'm like, I don't care if I ever eat. Right? But we need it. We have to have it. And so, obviously, we can overeat and we can overdrink. Even non-alcoholic drink. I remember before, you know, playing sports and things like that, I'd come over there to the, you know, we were real fancy at our football stadium in elementary school. We had a water hose. All right, everybody just took turns on the water hose. But I remember drinking so much that when I started running, I could hear it. Kloosh, 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 going up in there. I'm like, maybe I got too much. All right, and then my body told me, you got too much. So exit. Here it comes, okay? And so same way with food. You can overeat. But our body needs hydration. It needs substance. It needs not overindulgence. But it also needs exercise. The Bible even says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Okay, it's there. If you move it or lose it, they say. So we need to exercise and to be able to do more for God. My wife, she teases me. I have this thing in my room. It looks like a bicycle handlebar. It's got two little bicycle handlebar grips, but it's a big spring in the middle. And you bend it. And I do 25 to 40 of those every morning, this way and this way. Why? Just to stay where it'll move. Because if I stop it and I go to pick up something, Wow, I just want to be able to do stuff, move. And so bodily exercise, your body needs that. Your body needs to work. All right, it needs to study. Our brains need to study. Our inside of our body, we need to serve. We need to, in honor, preferring one another. We need to do all that stuff. And we need rest. So God's saying, hey, come over here to this green pasture. You're going to get some food. You're going to get some water. And you're going to get some rest. Now, we've already had some exercise walking over here. We've already been doing this and doing that. So all a part of that is the shepherd's plan. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says this, But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So he wants us to serve. He wants us to do good things. But he said, not to the point that you get weary. You need to take a break. You need to rest. And again, I've seen people like this in the ministry. They're go-getters, and men, you can count on them, and that's wonderful. But a lot of them will overdo it. And some of them, you've seen them, they do so much, and then they get burnt out, and then they quit. I'm not trying to tell you not to do anything. But let's not be weary in well-doing. So don't stop doing what it takes to get some rest. Psalm 37:7 says this, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. I got to go. I got to do this. And we get all worked up. All right? The Bible talks about that sweet sleep. It'll be there tomorrow. All right? God will wake up with you. He won't even go to sleep. He'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there tomorrow. Fret not yourself. I understand occasionally, maybe with a work situation, you're going to do inventory, or you're going to do a spring cleaning, and you have to overexert. I get it. But that ought not be the norm. He says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that profiteth in the way, because of the men who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So this is why we're not supposed to compare. You just do what you think God wants you to do. Well, I need to do like they do so people will think. But just leave that alone. You be you. All right? Don't try to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians or whoever they say you're supposed to keep up with today. Just do what God wants you to do. And then rest. And then tomorrow, do what God wants you to do. And then rest. And so, again, it's not a competition. It's not that. Again, they didn't race over through the green pasture. And they didn't take a competition of who can eat the most tender grass. No, they just went and did what the shepherd wanted. So we see here the sheep, they lay down when it was time. And the sheep would also lay down in that grass when there was danger coming. And so sometimes Jesus is saying, hey, come rest. Why? Because he knows there's danger. And if you look at Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 7, it may be Proverbs 6, about the one out and about in the middle of the night, walking on the street corners, and that one came that was simple, and she talked him into committing fornication. Right? But if he'd have been home in the bed, that wouldn't have happened. So we see that the Lord said, I created your body. I know what it needs. And it needs some rest, and it doesn't need to be out gallivanting and doing all that kind of stuff. And so the sheep, some of them, we have stories in the Bible that 90, that 100th one, went out gallivanting, and the shepherd put all those down and came looking for that one, and so forth. So we see the shepherd wanted the sheep to lie down to rest, and then sometimes, the high grass, they would hunker down in it, and the enemy, the whatever, would eat them. Mountain lions or wolves or whatever couldn't see them because they were hidden over there by the shepherd. And so we see that if they were standing up, they stuck out like a sore thumb for that predator to come take them down. So they would nestle down among the grass, and it was easier to hide themselves from the predator. So Jesus knows what he's talking about when he says, hey, come to the green pasture. Hey, lay down. Sometimes it's better not to stand and fight. Again, I'm a dude, and I was taught, stand up for yourself, stand up for your sister, stand up for your mom, stand up. And then, obviously a Christian, we're supposed to fight the devil. We're supposed to fight the falsehoods out there. And we're supposed to fight, stand for this, stand for that. But there's some times where God says, just get away. We're going to read some of those verses. 2 Timothy 2:2, I'm 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. Okay, so youthful lust. It doesn't mean you have to be a youth to have some of those youthful lusts, but when that's around, get. Go to the green pasture. Go lay down. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Get away from them. Don't try to fight youthful lust. Run from them. Flee. Well, somebody's going to call me a fraidy cat. Oh well. Someone's going to call me a chicken. Oh well. God says, get away from it. Proverbs 11:1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Right, so the bird obviously has some predators that's after it. But it's got flight. God created it like that. So God said, hey, when there's danger, when there's things that might kill you, there's things that might mess you up, you just fly to the mountain. Just get on out of here. Fraidy bird. Scaredy bird. Oh well, the bird's alive. Psalm 143:9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee. Hide me. So sometimes we don't stand and fight. We just go to God. We go to that green pasture. We just nestle down in that high grass so the enemy can't find us. 1 Corinthians, there's a couple places it tells us to flee fornication. It tells us to flee idolatry. Now, just like I was saying earlier, the Bible does say, hey, stand. It says, stand ye fast. It says, take a stand. It says, having done all to stand. So there are times where we have to take a stand and say, I believe God, or I believe this, and I believe that. I'm standing up. I'm speaking out for. But what we've got to do is let the shepherd decide those times. If the shepherd's saying, hey, let's go over here to the green pasture. Hey, let's go rest. Let's go nestle down. Yes, sir. Now, if he says stand, take a stand, speak out, you know, stand your ground. Don't let people run over you with false religion or false cults or things like that. You take a stand. If he tells us, that's what I'm saying, let the shepherd decide. He's the one that maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He knows when it's go. So he knows when it's when we ought to take a stand. He knows when we ought to flee. Let's listen to him. He also knows as far as work and rest. Listen to him. If it's time to go to work, work. If it's a work day, if it's a you know, soul winning, if it's revival, if it's this, it's that, let's go. But when that's not happening, okay, we need to rest. Listen to him. When it's time to work, work. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, the Bible says. But then he says, come apart and rest. So God knows he's the one that created our body. He knows what our body needs, and he knows what he wants us to do. So let's let him do it. Now, we see here, we all heard that person's laying down on the job. We know that means they're not doing their part. They're lazy. We don't want to be told, oh, he's laying down on the job. Now, we ought not lay down on the job. But if God says, hey, come over here to the green pasture and lay down, let's do it. So do our part, but listen to the shepherd. So when the work is done, the sheep huddle up close to the shepherd, lie at his feet, and lay down. Why? Because that's where safety is. That's where affection's going to be. The shepherd may have talked to the sheep. Hey, Fuzzy. Hey, Wooly. I don't know what he named them. All right, but the Bible says he knows our names. Right, so when they laid down, that was safe. Why? Because the shepherd was there with his staff. If anything came to try to hurt the sheep, he'd take care of it. But that affection was there. So praise the Lord, we have affection. We have comfort from the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We have that a boy, that a girl, that you're doing right. We have that affection. You can just feel maybe that hug. Maybe he don't pat us on the head like a sheep. But anyway, but we feel that closeness when we lie down in those green pastures. So the sheep's prayer should be something like this. Lord, I still have inclinations about straying. All the sheep that was laying down in the green grass, they weren't all like, oh, God's awesome. This is great. No, some of them were like, I wonder what it would be like over there. I wonder if that would be fun. Right? Again, if that's where it stops, you're safe. But when we get that temptation, God gives us that way of escaping that temptation. But if we follow it, that's where we're going to mess up. So the prayer is, Lord, you know me. I'm a hard-headed sheep. I still have inclinations of straying.
The world attracts me, and my flesh stirs up wrong desires. Lord, help me to always listen. Help me to always stay in the green pasture. Help me to lay down when it's time to lay down. This is what the sheep ought to pray. Lord, there have been times when I have wandered astray, and I wasn't lying near you. Right? Make me to lie down in green pastures, like it says in the Bible. Thank you for seeking me when I did wander. Thank you for forgiving me and bringing me back when I did wander. Lord, keep me near you in the green pasture. So the shepherd doesn't wander around until he finds a green pasture. Maybe our brain thinks that. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pasture. So, you know, the shepherd's not out there with GPS going, let's see, which way, where's my compass, and let's see if we can find a green pasture. No, our shepherd created us and knows us and knows everything that we need. He knows exactly where those green pastures are. Why? Because He made them. So our God's not like happenstance coming up, oh man, look, this is cool, this is a green pasture. No, He knew. And then that tender grass, we're going to talk about it in a minute, He knows where that is. Why? Because sometimes that's gone. It's been used up. And they have to go to another green pasture while this one's growing that tender grass again. And so God knows what He's talking about. When He says, hey, go to church, we ought to go to church. Hey, read your Bible every morning, you ought to. Pray. He knows what we need. And He knows where we can get it. So 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every need. So God's the one that makes it happen. He's the one that leads us to the places that we need to go. So the shepherd knows where those pastures are. He didn't just happen upon them. He made them. He's taken us to them. He knows what's best for us. So He knows us by name. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. So that shepherd chooses daily what's best for us. He's the one that makes it manifest. And so He says, look, if it's, you know, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll pray, and you'll have a relationship with me, that's going to sustain you. And then listen to me all throughout the day. And then come and go and do what I ask you to do. It says here, the shepherd chooses daily what's best for us. He knows where to lie down. He knows where the enemy is. He knows the sustenance that we need. And time is important. And we talked about that just a few minutes ago. That tender grass, I keep saying we're going to talk about it, and I don't see it in my notes yet. But, you know, that tender grass is that new growth right at the top. You hunters, you know what I'm talking about. They like that new browse. And that's the most tender part. It's probably got the most nutrients in it. It helps us be sustained and things like that. So the green pastures, studies show that, here it is, I'm sorry, that tender grass is the new growth. It's got the most nutrients in it. It tastes much better. Again, I've had steaks that were okay, and I've had steaks that were amazing. All right? They say if you put that steak on top of your head, your tongue would beat your brains out trying to get to it. So that's what these sheep say. They were like, oh, this is so good. And the shepherd's like, duh, I brought you here. I knew last week we came over here and all you hungry sheep, you clipped off the tops of all the grass. So all the tender grass was gone from that place. So we came over here a place that hasn't been. And so, man, the sheep was like, so it had more nutrients, more sustenance for their body. It tasted better. It's kind of like somebody, cooking you something that your granny cooked or your mama cooked or maybe your wife cooked. And, you taste it and it's like, it's all right, but it ain't granny's. It ain't my wife's. And so we see that it tastes way better. And that's what God says. If you'll follow me and you'll eat what I'm providing and if you'll do what I say, you're going to like it way much better. It'll be easier to digest. If you know anything about the body, the cows, they'll chew the cud. I think, seven stomachs a cow has? They'll puke it up, chew it, put it in this stomach, puke it up, chew it, put it in this stomach. Well, I'm glad I don't have to have that, all right? But we see here, the it's easier to digest. It's not as hard on you. Okay, so we see that God knows, hey, come to this green pasture. It's better for you. It'll taste better. it'll be easier to handle, easier to digest. So the sheep would rather have the tender grass long before they'd like to eat old grass. So they just need to follow the shepherd. So the shepherd knows what's going to make us stronger and more healthy. So God created all of us, and He wanted, I guess He created a little bit of involvement in our lives. So He made the pasture, He made the grass, He made the shepherd, He made the sheep. And so when He got over there, the shepherd wasn't, you know, like bird mama chewing the grass and all the little sheep. And the bird mama, no, the sheep had to do their part. The shepherd got them there, but they had to bend over. Oh my goodness, I'm just so tired of bending over eating grass. They had to do that. And they had to bite. Take that soft, new growth, tender grass off. And then, lo and behold, they had to chew. And so that's what us Christians a lot of times, I have to read my own Bible. Well, God's not going to read it for us. And then we're going to have to apply the principles and do what the Bible says. So God always has all these creations, but He leaves a little bit up to us. And that's why you have verses in the Bible like Daniel purposed. Joshua chose, as for me and my house. So we all have I'm not going over to that pasture. That's the lamest thing I've ever thought, heard of. I'm not going. So God says, I'm not going to make you. But the shepherd, he'll lead us to what he knows is best for us. It's up to us to lie down. It's up to us to bend down and chew, or bite and chew. And so he let us choose to be saved. He didn't make us be saved. He lets us choose to follow him. He doesn't make us be his disciples. He chose, we get to choose whether we eat and drink of the Word of God. So we can choose to read and listen to the Word of God. We get to choose to either study and meditate on it. We get to choose whether we apply it and live it. So the shepherd has all this for us. He's got that green pasture. And again, our green pasture is Lighthouse Baptist Church. And you know, with God's help, I will always have tender grass, new stuff for you to nibble on. Okay? But this is where God wants us to go. Now we can go, like I got to go yesterday over to Brother Goodlett's, Daryl Goodlett, Lou's brother, all right. Nelson County Baptist, and they had a preacher fellowship over there yesterday, and he said we were going to cast lots or draw lots for who's preaching today, and they did a cup, and my lot got drawn, so I got to preach yesterday over at Brother Goodlett's church and had a good time and so forth, but we see here, that's what God says. Hey, your green pasture is Lighthouse Baptist. And of course, if you go to a revival or somewhere else, things like that, you can get some good grass there too. But this is our normal feeding time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Go get you some green grass. That's what He's saying. You need it. Go take a load off. Go rest. Go hide from the enemy. Praise the Lord. We don't have the temptations here in our pasture that we do out in the world. I hope you're not tempted to cuss here in church. Blankety blank, when's he going to shut up? I hope you're not tempted to do something wrong at church. This is our pasture. And God said, look, here's some tender grass. It'll be easy to digest. Lay down, keep yourself safe. So we see here that he lets us choose that. But he said, if you will, Lighthouse Baptist Church, great pasture to eat in. There'll be the Word of God to chew on, to study. You get to choose to live it. And then he says, I want you to do that, and we're going to look at three words here in our conclusion. Repeatedly. Right? They went to a different pasture. A green pasture. Green pasture. They went daily. Maybe they even went a couple times a day. And so, we ought to go to the Word of God daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And God also said in many places in the Bible, on the morrow. In other words, I gave you some green grass to eat today, but on the morrow, there'll be some more. And we got examples of that in the Bible. Elijah, under the juniper tree, what did God do? Brought him fruit, food every day. The children of Israel, in Exodus 16, in the wilderness, what did God do? He brought them food every day, repeatedly. We find that God says in Matthew 6 that He'll give us our daily bread. He wants us to do it repeatedly. He will certainly lead us daily to that green pasture, that church or that devotional place. He wants you to go there daily. He knows that we need it. He knows that we need the green pasture physically. He knows we need it spiritually. It'd be great if we could fill up our car the day after we bought it, fill it up one time, and that's the only time we ever had to put gas in it. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be amazing. All right, I could probably buy another car, all right, if that was the case. But what's my car do every once in a while? Boom, boom, boom. And I look down, and there's that little red gas pump-looking thing. Hey, I need some more. Ah, praise the Lord, that's not daily. Maybe weekly, but not daily. But obviously, we need it, and God knows that. Our house, it probably going to need some paint before we go to heaven. It's probably going to need an air filter every once in a while. It's going to need some new shingles. Praise God, not daily. Every, 20 years or so? Things like that. It's just going to need it. And God knows that we need it. So He says, hey, I want you to go lie down repeatedly. I want you to go constantly or continuously. I want you to go daily. And God wants us to lay down. So He wants us to have that sweet fellowship. I'll read one verse and I'm done. Zephaniah 3:17. Probably hadn't read that one in a while. Zephaniah 3:17 says here, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. That shepherd, He's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing. I'm sure that shepherd probably sang, and hopefully some of those sheep they didn't have tone-deaf shepherds. If you read the story of David, the life of David, he watched his father's sheep, and the Bible said he played his harp. And those sheep probably loved that. And that's what's cool about our God, is if we'll listen to Him and go to the green pasture and eat what we're supposed to eat, lay down when we're supposed to lay down, follow Him the rest of the time, have that sweet fellowship, it'll just be peaceful. That playing of the harp, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody play the harp, but it's amazing. But David was playing that. Can you imagine those sheep like, oh, man, my belly's full. Man, this grass is even comfortable. And oh, that sounds so pleasant. That's what God's saying. Hey, if you'll be my sheep and you won't be like some of your kids and never lay down and aggravate me, if you'll just do what I say, here's the perks. If you'll lay down in that green pasture, you'll have all the sustenance you need. It'll be safe and it'll be peaceful. I might even sing to you, or I might even play this harp. And you're like, man, being a Christian, being right with God, being close to God, man, this is awesome. And I'm sure they looked up at the stars, just beautiful. And that's what God wants for us. But we have to follow Him. We got to go to that green. I'm not going. I'm not going to the green pasture today. You got to drag me. That's probably not very peaceful. You might get a little chafed or walk with that staff. Amen. So let's listen and let's go where He wants us to. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day and thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the 23rd Psalm. Lord, we thank You for being our shepherd. And Lord, last week we saw if we delight in You, You're going to give us the desires of our heart. We won't even have a want. And Lord, tonight we saw that You want us to lay down sometimes and just be at peace, get the sustenance that we need, and Lord, to have that relationship with You. Thank You for a great night. Lord, I just ask You to have Your will and way this Sunday. Lord, I just ask You to help the weather. Lord, I just ask You to help us have a good day this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.